The parasha begins, Ve'ele toilois Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram hoilides Yitzchak. Many of the mafarshim ask, why does the pasuk have to repeat, this is the toilois of Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram hoilides Yitzchak. It just told us, Yitzchak is ben Avram, so certainly Avram was hoilid Yitzchak. It seems to be repetitive. Rashi says, Avram hoilides Yitzchak. La'acha shekara kadosh baruch shmei Avram, acha kach hoilides Yitzchak. Dover, acha ade shekosov ha-kosov Yitzchak ben Avram, huskak loimer Avram hoilides Yitzchak. Lufi shohi leitzane hador oimer me'avi melech nis arva sarah. Shari kama shonim shoasa im Avram, v'loi nis Abraham enu, ma'osa kadosh baruch hu, tzar klasht upon al she Yitzchak, doimel Avram, ve'idu ha'koyel Avram hoilides Yitzchak. Rashi tells us that we know Avram and Sarah were married together for many, many years. They didn't have children. So people said, they can't have Avram and Sarah, it's not possible for them to have children. So when finally Avram and Sarah had Yitzchak, the late Sanei Hador said, it's not possible to be from Avram and Sarah. We know that Avimelech took Sarah, so it has to be that this child is in actuality Avimelech and Sarah. It's not Avram and Sarah. So therefore the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, as the Gemara in Bava Metzia says, Rebbeinu Shel Olam made it that the face of Yitzchak looked exactly like Avram's. So therefore the Leitzanei Hador should not think, they should say, that actually it's a mistake, and it's reality, it's not from Avimelech, but rather Yitzchak is certainly a child of Avram, because he looks just like Avram again. It's mashma from Rashi and the Gemara that Yitzchak, people don't realize this little point. They think, okay, Yitzchak was born looking like Avram. But that's not what it tells us here. It tells us, we're talking about here where Yitzchak, the next pasuk says, Vayihi Yitzchak ben arboim shana. Yitzchak was 40 years old. He was getting married, he was 40 years old here. So the Gemara is telling us that Yitzchak was born not looking like Avram Avin. The Leitzanei Hador was saying that he's from Avimelech. So now, at 40 years old, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam made an ace and made it that Yitzchak, who used to look like something else, like someone else, now an ace happened and he looked like Avraham Avinu. So the question is obvious, why did the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wait till now? He didn't know. Rebbeinu Shel Olam certainly knew what was going to happen. He knew that the Leitzanei Hador were going to say, oh, this can't be Avraham's child, this has to be Avimelech's child. So why did he wait till now to make this change, to make Yitzchak look like Avraham? Rav Shimon Schwab says that we know for certain that it was Sarah's child. Not that we don't know that for certain it's Sarah's child, but we know that Sarah was able to have children. How do we know? Chazal tell us, the Medrash Tanchuma, that all the kids, all the people in the wherever they lived, they all came and the Sarah nursed all the babies. Because people were saying it's not possible. Sarah's 90 years old. It's not possible for her to possibly have children. They must have found it in the street or something, and they took it and they announced this is their child. So therefore, the fact that Sarah was able to nurse all the children was a proof that she's capable to have children, and therefore it was believed that Yitzchak was actually her child. The question is what about Avraham Avinu? How do we know? Shimon Schwab says, well, we know Avraham Avinu could have children, because the pasuk tells us that Avraham Avinu took Keturah, according to some of his Hagar, and Avraham Avinu had 6 more children after it. So it's not that Avraham Avinu couldn't have children, Avraham Avinu also was capable of having children. After Yitzchak, after having Yitzchak, Avraham Avinu was 100 years old, and after that he still had 6 more children. So it was still possible for Avraham Avinu, over 100 years old, to have children. So we know both of them were able to have children. The reason why the Torah waits until now to tell us that Yitzchak looked like Avram was because now there was going to be the Torah is now starting with Yaakov and Esav. Esav is a very bad seed, a Rasha. So the fear was, until now, they wouldn't have said anything. Possible for Avram to have children, possible for Sarah to have children. Yitzchak is really Avram and Sarah's. But now that Esav is going to be born, you're going to have a grandchild called Esav, people are going to say, it's not possible to have from such a big tzaddik like Avram and Sarah, from Avram, to have such a Rasha like Esav. There has to be a bad seed somewhere. It has to be that really it's Avimelech and Sarah's child and not Avram's. And that's why Esav was born. Therefore, the Pasuk tells us you should know that it actually is Avram and not Avimelech. And perhaps that's why there was a nace that happened here. And Ben Ishchai says, fascinating. The Yalkut Shemoni that says, Maisa Shehoya Kachoya, there was an Arab king, dark skinned, and he had a baby, and the baby was white. His wife was an Arab, he was an Arab, they were dark skinned, and he had a white baby. So the Medrash tells us that he went to Rabbi Akiva, and he asked Rabbi Akiva, should I kill my wife? My wife must have done something with somebody else. Because how is it possible for me and her to have a white child? And Rabbi Akiva asked him, do you have white servants? And he said, yes, I have white servants. He says, then don't kill her. It's your baby. Why? Because if a lady, when she's pregnant, looks at something all the time, the baby will look like that. By the fact that this queen had white servants all around her all the time, she's so white, therefore, she's able, even two black people can have a white baby. And perhaps, for those of you, there's a chalikis apoiskim about if a pregnant lady is allowed to go to the zoo. This is the same occur that if you go stare at the zoo, and according to most poskim, I think they'll tell you you can go to the zoo as long as you don't stare at the ugly animals, but the point is there is some sort of hashva that if you stare at something that's ugly, it can have an effect on the baby. So that, the Ben Ishchai said, that's the pshat over here. He says, "Va'ela tell Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram hoyled es Yitzchak." Until now, it wasn't a question of, until now, we have 40 years, Yitzchak is now 40 years old. If he would have been born looking like Avram Avinu, people would have said, it's Avimelech! And the baby Yitzchak looks exactly like Avram Avinu. But you know what? It's still not his, it's still Avimelech's. Why? Of course, Sarah was living with Avram after. She got pregnant from Avimelech. Avimelech only had her for a very short period of time, then she was with Avram. So she looked at Avram all the time. So the baby looked like Avram. But not because he's the father, because she was with him after that while she was pregnant. So the Baruch Hu had to make a nace. That out of the teva, out of nature, Yitzchak was born looking like something else. And then at a certain point in time, Baruch Hu made a nace. That all of a sudden now his face looks like Avraham Avinu. So like Tanei Hadar should say, okay, this is a nace happened. It wasn't that she was born looking like Avraham Avinu, but rather a nace happened. And now he looks like Avraham Avinu. That's a proof that in actuality it was Avram's son and not Avimelech's son. The Klayoker says that there's two different aspects of having a child. There's the gufnius part and the guf, and then there's the midas tovus or midas rois. Eila toilus Yitzchak ben Avram. These are the toilus of Yitzchak ben Avram. Avram hoiledes Yitzchak. We look in the parasha before Pasuk Yud Beis. Ve'ela toilus Yishmol ben Avram. Asher yolda hagor. So he Klayoker says when it says ben, the ben is a reference to the actual guf, the physical having a child. Hoylid, the lashon of hoylid means is that you take the midos toivus or rois of the person of the parent. So by hagar, it's by shmol, it says he was yolda hagar. He was a ben Avram, but he was yolda hagar. He went after his midos were after hagar, which was ra. Avram Yitzchak, on the other hand, the Torah is made. Yitzchak took after the midas of Avram Avinu, and that's the ikker point. When you have Yitzchak, you look at the others, and are supposed to take after and follow in that path of the midas toivos and not the midas rois. Yitzchak and Rivka could not have children, pasuk says, "Vayeta Yitzchak Hashem unoychach ishtoi ki akoro hi, vayosa lo Hashem evatar Rivka ishtoi." Rashi says, "Vayeta" the lashon of tefila, Yitzchak and Rivka they daven to the Baruch Shem. Question: Avraham Avinu was told from the Baruch Shem directly, "Ki be Yitzchak yikaro lechazara." You're going to have children, you're going to have Deyre Deyres, all of Klai Yisrael is going to come, starting from Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak, and going down. Yitzchak knew that. Why did Yitzchak have to daven? There was a haftaka from their Baruch Shalom that he was going to have children. So, why did he have to daven for them? So the Sipporna says that he didn't have to daven for himself in actuality. He was davening for Rivka. Ki v'Yitzchak yikaro l'chazara. Yitzchak is going to have the Klal Yisrael. But who said it was going to be Rivka? It could have been Yitzchak and a different Isha, a different wife. So Yitzchak was davening that it should be Rivka. This wife, Rivka, that he had then, it should come through her. She should also be Zeicha to be the Mois of Klal Yisrael. The Medrash HaGadol says that each one, Yitzchak, was davening for Rivka. And Rivka was davening for Yitzchak. Each one had a haftacha that they knew that the Baruch Shem was going to give them children, but they were each davening for the other. Avraham Avinu, Sarah had problems having children. Yitzchak and Rivka had trouble having children. Yaakov and Leah did not, but Rachel did. The question is why is it that Avram, Sarah, why did they have such problems? Why were they Akara and Akara? Why couldn't they have children? So we start, Klal Yisrael starts from the obvious Nimois. What happened to Terach? Terach was the father of Avram Avinu. So why don't we say that, yeah, we're children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we're also children of Terach. Sarah also going forward, going upwards. Rivka Imenu as well. Rivka we know is she a Bisul. So the pshat is that the reason why Baruch Shalom made them an Akar and Akara was because he wanted it to be that it was Shalei B'derech HaTeva, that there was a new Bria here. Avraham Avinu and Sarah, both of them, it was not possible by nature for them to have children. Therefore, their continuity of from their parents stopped. Once you cannot have children anymore, it stops over there. They davened, and the nace happened, and therefore it starts from Avraham and Sarah. The same thing by Rivka. Rivka Yitzchak had no problems having children, according to most. Rivka was the problem. Yitzchak didn't have a problem, because Yitzchak came from Avraham and Sarah. On the other hand, Rivka did not come. Rivka came from Bisul. And therefore, Rivka needed it to be that she had to daven to the Baruch Shem. The question stands. Rachel. About Rachel?
She had a hard time having children.
Right. She came from Laban. Question is on Leah. Question is, why didn't she have a hard time? That's a good question. It says in the Yod Yosef Chai, HaKoyel Nechtav, we know that on Rosh Hashanah, everything is already decided of what everyone's going to have. So if that's the case, why do we have to daven? And Baruch Hashem says, this person is going to make $1 million this year. What are you daven for? Everything is decided. There's already a judgment. He answers that while it's true that it was already decided, but decided doesn't mean that the person's getting it yet. It means that in Shemayim, they put aside X amount, they say, okay, this person is ready to get $1 million, have children, have good children, everything good that's set aside for him. But he still has to be able to accept it down here in this world. And the only way to accept it down here in this world is through tefillah. Tefillah is the shvil, is the path to bring it down here. So if a person doesn't daven, even though it was judged already that he was going to get something, but if he doesn't daven for it, it's still possible that he's not going to get it. So while it's true that Yitzchak, he davened, he knew, ki be Yitzchak yikol chazara, there was a haftocha from the Rebbeinu Shem, that Avraham was going to have children, you have Yitzchak, and through Yitzchak was going to be Kal Yisrael Dari Daris. But nonetheless, if he didn't daven for it, it's possible that it never would have come down. And that's why, even over here, Yitzchak davened for it. And we see throughout the generations, we see through Nach, it says Eliyahu, Eliyahu was a Kohen, Eliyahu was Mechayim Mason. The question is how is he allowed to be Metama to the child that was dead? How is he allowed to be Metama to the child? The child was dead. Kohen is not allowed to become Tamei. The answer is he davened to the Rebbeinu Shalom, and he knew that it was going to happen, but he still had to daven to the Rebbeinu Shalom, and he knew that the baby was going to be, that the child would become alive again, and therefore then there's no tumma. There was no tumma, being that the child became alive again, there was never any tumma. But nonetheless, it tells us that we learn that he still had to daven for it. Because a person doesn't daven for it, even though he knew it was going to happen, but tefillah is still a necessity. It's a necessity, it's a component that has to be there no matter what. Very interesting in the parasha. Everyone learns as little kids that Yitzchak liked Esav and Rivka liked Yaakov. What is the pshat? Pasuk says, "Vayehav Yitzchak es Esav kitzayid b'fiv, v'Rivka oyheves es Yaakov." And Rivka loved Yaakov. What is the pshat in this? It's a pella that Yitzchak. We know Esav is a Russia. How could it be? The question is not on Rivka loving Yaakov. The question is on Yitzchak. How could he have loved Esav? The Shem Yishmu says, Esav wanted to show his father Yitzchak that he was a big tzaddik. He was a big machmir. So what does Rashi tell us? Rashi says that he came over and he said, do we take on salt and tevin and straw? Do we take meiser? This is big kasher. Big machmir. This big kasher. Do we take meiser? The answer is no. But that was his question. Hashem Shmuel says, why did he ask on those things? What was he, chumah, why did he pick those two things to make his chumah? What's the pshat in that? He says, it's melach, salt, is secondary. You have food, you have, the salt is a secondary to the meat, or to whatever it is you have. The main thing is the food. The salt is secondary. It could be a necessary component, but nonetheless, it's secondary. It's not the main thing. It's not the ikkar. Tevin, straw, is with the wheat. It protects the wheat. But the ikkar is, again, the wheat. What was supposed to happen in the Bria was that Yaakov was supposed to be Kula Ruchnius, and Esau was supposed to be Kula Gashmius, supporting the Ruchnius. The Yaakov and Esau was supposed to have Esau as Volendil. Yaakov was supposed to learn the whole day, and Esau was supposed to support him. That was Esav Tafkid. So Esav was going to his father, and he was wanted to know, but can we make believe, like the secondary things, the melach and the tevin, we'll make that the ikkar and take meiser off that? That was his question. That's also very important. The answer is no. Even though it is necessary and it is important, but nonetheless, we don't do it. And that's what Esav is trying to accomplish. The Kedusha Slavi says a pshat, and we'll give a little bit of a story to help understand the pshat. The story goes something like this. Al Gore, I believe it was, said over a story about Bill Bradley. Bill Bradley was sitting at a dinner of some sort, a chosh of a dinner, some sort of a fancy place, and the waiter comes over to him and gives him potatoes, a baked potato, something, and he gives him one pat of butter, a piece of butter. So Bill Bradley calls over the waiter and says, "Give me a second piece of butter. This is not enough. I want a second piece." The waiter looks at him and says, "Sorry, one piece of butter per person. Can't help you." Bill Bradley looks at this waiter and says, "Excuse me? Do you know who I am?" The waiter looks at him and says, "Nope, not a clue." He says, "I'm a Rhodes Scholar. I'm from the 50th greatest basketball players. I'm a..." going through his whole list of, you know, how important he is. The waiter looks at him and says, "And do you know who I am?" And Bob Bradley looks at him and says, "No." He says, "I'm in charge of the butter." And he walked away. Took the Kedusha Slavi, the same beside. Yaakov was in charge of the more important thing, the Ruchnius. Esau was supposed to be in charge of the Gashmius. He was supposed to take care of the Ruchnius. Yitzchak thought that Esau knew his role. Yitzchak was ready to give him the brachas. He was going to give him what was the brachas he was giving him? Gashmius. What was he going to do with the Gashmius? He was going to support Yaakov. Of course. Yitzchak understood. Yitzchak didn't think Esav was a Talmud Chacham. He didn't think that Esav was learning a whole day. He knew what he was. He thought that he was going to support Yaakov. Rivka knew that wasn't the case. Now, Matalim Rapshit says that Yitzchak came from the house of Avraham Avinu, Kulay Tor, and Rivka grew up with Besuel and Lavan. She, you know, she realized right away who was who. And she knew right away that, yeah, well, Esau doesn't know where he stands, and Esau's going to think that he's more important. Esau is the one in charge of the butter. The problem is that the one in charge of the butter is not going to give the more important person what he needs, then it doesn't work. That is why Yitzchak, Yitzchak is Esau Kitzayit Befiv. He was trying to give him more chizuk. He understood your role in life is to be support Yaakov. But Rivka knew that it wasn't going to work. And Rivka knew that if she doesn't make sure that Yaakov gets the brachas from Yitzchak, he's not going to have support and it's not going to work. To that extent, it says in Parshas Chayisara, when I'm talking about Avraham Avinu trying to get a place to bury Sarah, the pasuk keeps on saying over and over again, "Ve'ekbara Mesi." It says, "Kivareinu kivar es meisecha, mikvar meisecha, likbara es Mesi, lachuz es kaver." The last time it says here, "Marzah ha'danesecha kivar meisecha." And so it says six times it says the word kavur mesecha, kavura for the dead person. The last time it says reincha reinchi es mescha kavur. So six times it says kavur mesecha, and the last time it says mescha kavur. Why is that? So Zvon Lagoin says Avraham Avinu was buying the Maror Samach Pela for how many couples? Three. Adam and Chava were already there. Avram and Sarah. Yitzhak and Rivka. Yaakov and Leah. That's what the sixth Kvar, that's Kvar Mesecha. That's what the sixth. Why is the last one Mesecha Kvar? There's one more thing that was in the Maror Samach Pela. Esav's head. And the reason why it says Mesecha Kvar is because a Rasha, even in this world, he's called a dead person. Esav was a Rasha through and through. Nonetheless, Esav really, he had a tafkid in this world. If he would have accomplished his tafkid, he would have supported Yaakov, and he would have been ready to support Yaakov, he was entitled to a space in the Maror Samach Pela. The problem was his head, that part of his head. Why was his head there at all? Nefesh HaChaim says because his head belonged, his head was still the good part of what was supposed to be. He was supposed to cause, even Esav as we know it, all the Yisurin that Klal Yisrael does Averis. And Klal Yisrael need to be, we have oppression. Why do Klal Yisrael have oppression? Because the Baruch Hashem wants something from us. So if Esav would have done it without the Rishis, because that's what the Baruch Hashem wanted, then Hitak would have been Zeicha to Takib in the Maror Samach Pela as well. And that's why the Pasuk tells us, Ayav Yitzchak es Esav ki tzayid befev Rivka yeves es Yaakov. Yitzchak, he loved Esav, he thought he was good. Rivka loved Yaakov because she knew it's all about the Ruchnius, and that's what's most important. Yitzchak also knew that. So even though Klal Yisrael now get the brachas, that we have Parnasa, and we got the brachas from Yitzchak Avinu that we should have Parnasa, but we always have to remember that while we need Parnasa and we need to live, but the Iker is still the Ruchnius. The Iker is, we have to always remember, the Iker is the Ruchnius. We need the Parnasa to live, but the Iker is the Ruchnius. Have a good Shabbos.